Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rocking and rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coast to coast as always. Michael out there at his office in Jersey. I am live just outside of the Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Lots of news and notes to get to around the National Football League. We will also have, now that we're at the halfway point of the season, Michael's top five and bottom five teams in the NFL based on his updated power rankings. And it's a Wednesday, baby. So you know we're hitting you with a Why Not Wednesday at the end of the hour. We're looking at some long shots and underdogs that may or may not make you want to say why not. So looking forward to all of that, Michael. But where I want to start is actually a subject that we were talking about a little bit in hour one that I'd like to dive into further about Robert Saleh. When he was asked on the Michael K show about why he's not going out and giving Trevor Siemian an opportunity, a veteran quarterback in there when clearly Zach Wilson has not been the answer, has not panned out. Let's hear Coach Saleh's answer and react.
No, I got you. No, it's again, a fair question. And, you know, it's like I said, he, I don't know. You got me. I'm going to plead the fifth on all this one in terms of just, I kind of explained it, you know, yeah, respectfully, obviously, but mm-hmm. but it's a they're valid questions. But I know from a passionate fan, from fans who are passionate, all having the same questions, I respect it greatly.
Michael, he's had to ask a lot.
What did that mean? That's the first I've heard the whole thing. I just read that he said he pleaded the fifth. What was he trying to accomplish with that?
So what I was going to say,
that's the leader of your team.
Doesn't he sound like the question stumped him? Like, I feel like in these press conferences, he's asked all these different questions, but he sounded flabbergasted that was asked to him.
Well, I mean, he sounded like it was like he said it was a fair question, but he didn't give any answer to it. Like, if it's a fair question, you know, then give some concrete answers. Say, look, you know, we've invested a lot in Zach Wilson. And yeah, he's not playing well right now, but we eventually believe he can. And we have to do a better job around him. We have to protect the football more. We need to turn the ball over with our defense. We need to stop him in the red zone. I mean, there's 1,000 ways to go. We've all heard him. I mean, if I'm Woody Johnson and I listen to that, do you really think that leadership is going to lead us to the promised land? Remember this, Stormy, and I've said this an awful lot. When right now the Jets are in this phase of they're just a one trick away. You know, we get Rodgers back, we're going to be okay. Well, you and I both know one tricks don't work. That, like the diet pill, all that stuff, that doesn't, one thing doesn't work. It takes a combination of a lot of things to work. And what that one trick does, and it, you'll see it right here, it absolves responsibility and discipline. Two things that you must have when you're not playing well. And I think, to me, that was, if I were the owner of the Jets, I would be very disappointed in that. And the general manager is obviously telling him to play Wilson because he drafted him.
Well, that's what he sounded to me like. He sounded caught off guard by the question, even though it's a very obvious question given the situation. And it sounded like he didn't want to say the wrong thing about it not being his decision ultimately. But okay, it's Zach Wilson. That's who they're going with moving forward. And they still have this idea, this grandiose idea, that they're going to be in playoff position at the end of the year and Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. And also, by the way, Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday because a lot was made of what he says to be nothing of that exchange he had with Derwin James after the Monday Night Football game when he was asked, when are you coming back? Oh, a few weeks. He says it was tongue in cheek. Here it is.
It'd be nice to be able to be back in a couple weeks. That's probably not anywhere near a realistic timeline, but a couple is, you know, could be a few, could be a lot. It's more of a, you know, a phrase that didn't have a specific timetable.
And he added it could be more like a couple fortnights. So for the old folk out there, that's 2 weeks, right? Two weeks, a couple fortnights, so a couple 2 week sectors. So not until much later. But regardless, the Jets have what I would say is a critical primetime game coming up this Sunday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. And at 4-4 right now, I know it seems like if they're able to win some games, but are they able to win some games? I don't know. But this game with the Raiders feels critical on the trajectory of where the season's going to go against an opponent like that just fired their whole coaching staff. It's a basic pick'em game. But if they don't win this game, can we put to bed the Aaron Rodgers of it all? Because that feels like it's a downward tailspin, and there makes no sense in the world for Aaron Rodgers to come back on a team that's not in contention, especially coming back from an injury, Michael, and playing behind that offensive line that can't even give Zach Wilson the time that he needs.
Look, this Aaron Rodgers story is great. I think a lot of it was not intentionally to be disruptive. It was intentionally to motivate the players to play, right? And I'm going to say that. I'm not sure that's true, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in that area. But this Jet team's not a playoff team. I'm not going to – I mean, there's no benefit of the doubt here. They're 4-4. They went into that game against the Chargers. I don't know why people were betting the Jets on that one, but there was a ton of professional money on the Jets. When the Jets barely beat Tommy DeVito and the Giants, it took a missed field goal. I mean, really, the Jets should be 3-5. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, think about the run that they've had. I mean, how about Salah saying we've dominated every quarterback we've played?
He did walk that back. We can give him some credit. He did walk that back a little bit. He knew how it sounded.
All right. Well, he walked it back. I mean, Hurts throws one of the worst interceptions you're going to see. Russell Wilson has a chance to tie the game 24-24 and fumbles it, right, and gives them that one. And then the Giants miss a field goal. You know, I mean, he misses a field goal. And so they – and again, after the bye week, this Jet team defensively, this is what happened to him last year. They couldn't turn the ball over with their defense. And so they're -5 in turnover takeaway over the last 2 weeks, 2 against the Giants, 3 against the Chargers. And in either of those games has our boy thrown an interception. Think about that. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's got 5 on the season, and most of them happened back in the early part of the year. The reason he won't throw the ball is because he doesn't want to throw an interception. He's holding the ball for reasons.
But are the fumbles better?
If it's clean, he'll throw it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't want to throw interceptions, so he's not throwing the football, but is fumbling it better because he clearly can't hang on to it or make a play.
I mean, like, look, and then you get him into third down. They're 32nd and third down. The Jets on defense are 20th and third down. You know, I mean, like, the Jets are not like their elite defense on third down. And, you know, teams have run the football. Look, here's the reality about the Jets defense. Because their offense is so bad, they have seen the most amount of runs of any team in the National Football League. Think about that. People are running because they don't want to screw it up. Because they know they'll screw it up. The offense will mess it up. I mean, you know, you're playing a team that's 32nd in first downs. You're playing a team that is 29th in the league in expected points on drive. You know, the Jets defense is 26th in the league in expected points per drive. So, you know, they're going to give up points too.
Back-to-back weeks that we have seen some ugly, ugly football from the New York Jets. It's no secret. Another team that's struggling here at the midway point in the season, Michael, you wrote about at length in your column today that came out on VSiN.com, largely centered around the Chicago Bears. But Bears in action this Thursday night football. We just got the news a little bit ago that Justin Fields is officially doubtful for the game against Carolina coming up this week. He's been dealing with that dislocated thumb, obviously. But the title of your article yesterday was the Bears are halfway there. Are they living on a prayer? But let's start right there. What do you mean
Michael
by that?
Dolan credit for that. Michael Dolan, going to give him credit for that. He put that in there, a little Bon Jovi.
Love it.
Look, I think to me, you know, they've played some close games. Last week certainly could have gone back and forth. They're playing better defensively. There's no question they are. They've stopped the run. This is before Sweat got there. They were good against the run. They've given up only 15.5 points per game over the last 6 games. They're 2-4, you know, and they've done a nice job. The problem is they can't stop turning the ball over. And, you know, they can't get it going offensively. And for a lot of different reasons, even when the quarterback's in there, he turns the ball over. So, you know, those MVP tickets everybody had, I think we might want to throw those away. What do you think, Stormy? I'm just asking. I don't know.
You know,
should we throw them away?
Still don't understand why that was even a thought in some people's minds. But like,
this show never did it? I mean,
no.
Like, seriously,
we stuck to our guns, Michael.
It was unbelievable. But I think to me, this game lends itself to the under based on the way the Bears are playing offensively. What I put in the article is if you break down now, look, I know Tyson Badgett's a rookie, But his success percentage, which is one of the stats that I looked at in there, it means what do you get on first down, what do you get on second, and what do you do on third? How much success do you have as the operator of the offense? And Fields is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league at 38.7. Our man, Badgett, he's at 52.2. Now, he makes too many mistakes with the football. He's got six interceptions. You know, it's ridiculous. But Fields is at 3.7% interception percentage. Like, that's nothing to write home to mom about either. And so, and he holds the ball too long. He's sacked 24 times in six games. That's four per game. Think about that. That is four per game. And, you know, and if you took out that Washington game, you know, his numbers would not be even remotely good. So both offenses will struggle. I think the under's in play. And I just think the Bears are going to end up with really two high picks, and they better make sure they do the right thing. Or are they going to bring Eberflus back? Are they going to bring Poles back? What are they going to do as an organization?
Yeah, and that was a good, like, centerpiece of your article where you were talking about, like, there were so many examples where the Bears have just largely failed to evaluate or make good decisions in certain instances, and how is that going to play out moving forward? Eberflus and Ryan Poles come 5-21 since those two have been taking the helm of things in Chicago. Unders, primetime unders.
And I'd like to know, you know, they call me a Bear hater, which is really kind of unfair. Like, tell me what I've been wrong about. Like, seriously, why is it when you critique a team, you're a hater?
If the Justin Fields shoe fits, that's all I'm going to say, Michael. I'm just kidding. Primetime unders, though, 21-7 this year, hitting at a 75% clip. Could be another one on Thursday night.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No better time of year to be a sports bettor, and only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the College of Pro games every single week. If you sign up today, you'll get access to our daily best bets here at VSiN with a leaderboard to see which expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now, you get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st, only $120. Don't miss out though, it's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can sign up. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. And we just saw it come through, official. It looks like Tyson Bagent will be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. Justin Fields still dealing with issues gripping the football from that dislocated thumb. And before we hit the break, we were talking about the under being a potentially good play in this game, sitting 38.5. The Bears are a 3.5-point favorite right now. But unders have been the play, Michael, especially on primetime, 21-7, hitting at a 75% clip. The last 4 weeks specifically, 9-1 to the under. Sunday night and Monday night have been 16-3, so that's not going to apply to this Thursday night contest. International games 4-0. I mean, all season long, it's been like this, it seems. You look at those numbers in front of you on your screen for the season, 61.2% to the under, and it just gets better and better from week three and week five with those first early weeks, odds makers kind of trying to get a read on how games are going to be. So unders have been the play. Is there anything that you've seen watching the league through these first 10 weeks, Michael, that tell you a reason as to why that's been the cause?
Bad quarterbacking play, you know, and I think coaches trying to protect their team from losing by eliminating the quarterback making mistakes. I think that's part of it. I think that's one of the reasons scores are driven down, because you get down there. Like, the Jets have been a perfect example. You know, they would move the ball in the red zone, and then they don't want Wilson to make a mistake, so they get very conservative down there. And making plays in the red zone requires taking some chances. You know, you got to make some accurate throws. I mean, like, this game on Thursday night, the under's got to be in play with Badgett in there, you know, who turned the ball over really too much last week, or else they have a chance to beat New Orleans. I mean, this is two teams that have played their best defense the last 2 weeks, right? The Panthers have. They've given up 34 points. This Bear defense has improved. You know, the one thing the Panthers have to do is be able to stop the run. And without Brian Burns, you know, in there, that'll affect him in the passing game. They'll be a little bit more physical. C.J. Henderson's going to be. They've got a bunch of guys missing the game. Their injury report isn't very good. But I just think, to me, this is too good this is good defense against bad offense, which usually lends itself to an under.
And a pair of rookie quarterbacks that are going to be on display, which has been a theme this year, with Tommy DeVito, who's expected to start for the Giants this week against Dallas, Michael. It'll be a record in the NFL with 10 different rookies starting games in a single season. We talk about poor quarterback play. A lot of that has to do with lack of experience for these guys that have had to come in tough situations.
Right, but DeVito's played. I mean, the one thing, I think DeVito's got 38 career starts. He started at Syracuse. He played at Illinois. You know, so he's played, but the problem is, can you play effectively, right? And then you have some guys who, you know, Gardner Minshew's played a lot, but, boy, there's times he just doesn't play very good. You just can't get consistent quarterback. Yeah. Like Josh Dobbs, right? Comes in off the bench, doesn't know the plays, makes plays left and right. Do you trust him next week against New Orleans, Stormy? Do you? I mean, I don't know. Do you trust him? To me, it seems like,
I'm not rushing
like,
to the window, but I don't mind teasing up that 2.5.
I didn't see you waltzing up there. Yeah, I mean, this is what happens. You get a chance to play. Like Will Levis, okay? He's got two game tapes. We've seen him against Pittsburgh. We've seen him against Atlanta. People start to see, okay, who is he? What's he going to do? To me, you know, the question we didn't talk about after Monday night is, you know, nobody mentioned it on television, was for all the fanfare about how great the play caller is for the Chargers and the designer in our man Kellen Moore. That was as bad as I've seen Justin Herbert look in his entire – and it really wasn't the Jets' defense that made him look bad. I wasn't sure what they were trying to accomplish on offense.
It was the lowest passing yardage of his career for Justin Herbert was that game. And I think that's – it's interesting you bring that up because, yeah, most of the attention coming out of Monday night – was just all about the Jets and how bad they looked. And everybody talks about the Jets defense, despite looking into the deeper numbers about them being an elite group. And so that's kind of the expectation. But that offense really, really struggled. I mean, the Jets actually outgained the Chargers in that game, despite losing by 21 points in it. But okay, I think that this is an interesting conversation talking about quarterback play, because that has translated to your power rankings that we update every single week in terms of the number. And you look at the top five that have largely quarterbacks that we, with the exception of the San Francisco 49ers, that we consider elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. And then the bottom five are the latter.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, everybody can cling to the Purdy's the seventh rounder, but the kid plays pretty well compared to the rest of the market. I mean, he, you know, Josh Allen throws an interception, nobody complains. He's lead the NFL in interceptions this year. He's one ahead of Baker Mayfield for interception. No one brings it off. Brock Purdy throws one, he's a seventh round pick. Like, at some point, we got to stop that nonsense, right? The guy plays really well. His numbers are really good. And so when you break down these teams, when you look at the top five teams, that's all about their quarterback, right? I mean, their quarterbacks can play really well, whereas look at the bottom five teams. Caesar, you can put that graphic up there. I mean, tell me where they're getting quarterbacking play.
Yeah.
I mean, New England's got a 4th and 7th. Thornton runs a really good route, runs like a sail post, like a sail route. Wide open by 2 feet, but at least a high school wide open. Let me put it that way. And Mac Jones can't complete it. You know, Bryce Young throws 2 pick-sixes. Tyson Badgett ends up turning the ball over 5 times. Cardinals, Clayton Toon, coaching malpractice. I mean, we talk about Tommy DeVito. That's just not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go in there with Micah Parsons and they can't really run the ball. I mean, that's not fair. I mean, you're better off running the single wing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for the Giants. You feel, I mean, and there's only so much you can feel for the leadership group out there because they made their bed and now they have to sleep in it when it comes to the Daniel Jones contract. But having him get injured multiple times in different ways, Tyrod Taylor, their backup, who was at least like doing enough to give them an opportunity to win, even though it was still ugly in that standpoint, he gets hurt. So now you're stuck with this situation. And for Arizona, yeah, Clayton Toon put in a great situation against one of the best defenses in the NFL last week against the Browns. And so that was an ugly look. So there's your bottom five: New England, Carolina, Chicago, Arizona, and the New York Giants, who are just going like down based on their injury situation. To the top five, where we do have some shakeup, and you, based on your numbers, now have officially the Baltimore Ravens as your top team in the National Football League.
you know, they are really good in so many categories, Stormy. And when you break them down, they keep improving. I mean, they have made a giant step forward compared to where they were a week ago. I mean, a week ago when I have my numbers, I mean, you know, you're sitting there thinking about, oh, well, you know, they're just not quite as good, or they didn't do this. No. They're really good, and they really do an incredible job, and they're able to get pressure on the quarterback the way I wrote in my notes. I mean, you know, you look at Jadeon Clowney, he's playing really well, and you look at Kyle Van Noy, he's already got 6 sacks for their team. I mean, they have really played well. In the last 5 weeks, they're one of the best teams in the league, and, you know, whereas they make everybody look bad. This line is at 6, Stormy.
Yeah.
Against Cleveland, you know, and Watson's playing. There's no doubt about it. And I feel like it's a trap. I feel it's like the time when Kansas City played the Chargers at home when they were a 5.5-point favorite, right? You know, and everybody, me included, oh, you got to take the Chargers. It'll be a close game. They play each other close, yada, yada, yada. Well, do they? You know, that didn't cover. And so to me, the way they're playing right now, the way Baltimore's playing right now, and can Cleveland do anything against them? That remains to be seen.
Baltimore number one. You still have Kansas City there in the top two, number two. The 49ers, despite being on this 3-game skid, they're coming off a bye at 3. Philadelphia 4, and the Cincinnati Bengals are officially up there in the standings at 5. They're a 6.5-point favorite against the Texans this week. So actually seeing some people take that 7 with Houston, and that Cincinnati might not cover that 6-point spread. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't see that one, right? You know, consistent, like Houston, look, on the road, they're a different team, right? They go to Carolina and they struggled. I think he had 140 yards. Carolina played really well against them. At home, he was really good. This will be a better defense for Stroud. Pierce didn't practice again today, so they're not going to be able to run the football. But, God, he was so good last week. It's hard to go against them.
How good is the AFC North right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and the best part about the AFC North is the fact that Lamar Jackson didn't play his best game the other night. And he wasn't near as good as he typically is, right? And then we got Cleveland, which Watson didn't have to play very good. They won easily. And then you got Pittsburgh, which wins ugly. And then Cincinnati, to me, Burrow could be the MVP.
Such a fun division.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Now that we are halfway through the NFL season, there are 10 teams in the National Football League who are either at 500 or just a game over. So, Michael, we're going to go through these 10 teams, and I want you to tell me if you think the glass is half full and you feel like there is optimism and upside about where a team could go, or if the glass is half empty and you think that it's headed downhill fast for some of these teams. I think I already know the answer to the first one I'm going to hit you with, but I got to ask the question anyways. The New York Jets are 4-4. Michael, glass half full or glass half empty?
I think the glass is half empty. Like, I think I don't understand what this sense of going to make the playoff. Like, why not do what Kyle Shanahan did? Get a top 5 pick, add somebody great to your team, and go on with life. I mean, you know, here's the sad thing, right? I know Rodgers is coming back next year, but just hypothetically, say they end up with 4 wins and they go 4-13. They could end up with a top 5 pick. They could get their quarterback of the future and have their quarterback of the present. What would be wrong with that? You know, what would be wrong with that? I don't understand this urgency that they're going to, like, they think they're going to make, they're not beating anybody.
The only thing that I would say would be wrong with that is you don't want to draft another quarterback and upset Aaron Rodgers, because we know how that has affected him in the past, Michael. But
well, this is
it's a different Aaron Rodgers though now, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is time for, you know, you're a senior in college. It's probably time for you to end it, right?
To make the playoffs, the Jets are plus 250, to miss minus 310, and that number is what it is for a reason. How about the Buffalo Bills? You wrote in your column yesterday, the Bills have lost five straight games against the spread. Reminder, this is not the same Bills that we have seen in the past, so it sounds like you think the glass is half empty.
I do. I look, they have Josh Allen, so that glass can fill back up at any moment that they need it to because he'll make enough plays. But boy, Stormy, when you look at this schedule coming down here now, you know, they're not a good road team, right? They have not played well on the road. They lose to New England. I mean, they gave up 29 points to New England. New England typically scores. They can't score. That's the first time they were. There's only two times they've been over 20, right? And so they got, they give up that many points to New England. I mean, this line at Denver, it's a freaky line. I know we got to go quick here, but
fine.
Are they 7.5 points better than anybody? I don't know. Then they got the Jets, and then they got Philadelphia.
And yet still, based on how we've seen them struggle, only a game back in the AFC East because Miami can't seem to beat good teams. So this division we thought was going to be a juggernaut has been a little bit off. But to win the division, plus 270, make the playoffs, still a minus 120 number for Buffalo. You can get even money for them to miss. The Houston Texans, Michael, 4-4 right now, 5-1 shot to win the division. They already do have one win in the head-to-head against the division leader in Jacksonville. Glass half full or glass half empty, CJ Stroud keeps setting rookie records.
I think it's half full. I think they've done a great job. They've turned it around. You know, they've got some momentum going with their offense. I mean, last week, you know, it didn't play well in the first half, and the second half, you know, just dominated the game and would have been able to easily cover for the team that played Houston if you did, because they were that good in the second half. They just didn't have their field goal kicker to make extra points or make those chip shot field goals. But look, he did a great job. And you know, one of the things is I thought people were catching on to him a little bit. But that being said, C.J. Stroud, he really rallied. And, you know, when we watched the first half of the game, we saw Todd Bowles come after him. And then the second half, Todd Bowles didn't, whether it was because of the injury or whatever to Jamal Dean, and he was scared about his cover guy. But they couldn't cover him, and he delivered strikes up and down the field.
Yeah, and with the exception of Cincinnati this week and Cleveland at home on Christmas Eve, schedule favorable. Arizona, home against the Jags, home against Denver, so they don't have to go to altitude. They're at MetLife against the Jets, but I'm not scared about that. Home and home with the Titans, TBD what Tennessee's going to be like, and at the Colts. So there's certainly some opportunity. Any interest in the 5-1 to win the division or the plus 250 to make a playoffs?
You know, they handled Jacksonville down there. I would sprinkle a little pizza money on that. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Thanks for referencing that game, though. RIP my Survivor entry, but it's fine.
Sorry.
We'll move on.
Sorry. I apologize.
There has been, obviously, turnover with the Raiders organization. They're sitting 4-5 right now, coming off an important win this past weekend. Glass half full or glass half empty based on what you saw in game one?
Well, I mean, they certainly had a lot more energy, and they're playing a rookie quarterback. Their defense still isn't very good. But the way they have this energy and the way they'll play with some momentum, you've got to feel like that. Look, I kept saying this all year long. I mean, when they were 3-3, everybody wanted the coach fired. I mean, for the players, since McDaniels got there, there's been this movement to get them fired. Nobody bought into them. Nobody liked it. And for whatever reason that is, but that cloud lays over top of your organization. And it's unfortunate for Josh, who's a friend of mine, but it's just the way it was. I mean, last year, there were rumors he was getting fired last year on a 6-year contract. And so that momentum affects the players. And I think you saw it on Sunday, the way they played without that clout.
Their updated season win total is just 6.5, juiced to the over at minus 130. So if you think they can keep up some of this energy, could be a worthwhile bet. How about the Atlanta Falcons, who have made their quarterback change? They're sticking with Taylor Heinicke again this week, Michael, sitting 4-5 right now in a division that I think we can still say is pretty wide open at this point. Glass half full or glass half empty?
You know, I think it's half empty, because how do you have any hope with Tyler Heinicke? Really, seriously. I mean, he made a mistake in the game. You're not – where are we going with this, right? We spent all offseason telling everybody we don't need a quarterback, and now we're back to Taylor Heinicke? I think it's half empty, Stormy. I really do. You disagree?
I think whether you have Taylor Heinicke or Desmond Ridder in there, your coach is still not utilizing the other weapons that you have offensively to give you the best chance. So I agree with you.
That's,
I think
that's true.
I think glass half empty from that standpoint, regardless of who you have at quarterback, it's going to be an uphill battle. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Interesting situation here. You lose your starting quarterback, Kirk Cousins, for the season with an Achilles injury. In steps Josh Dobbs, who within 5 days finds a way to lead you to a win in a game-winning drive. Could they have an opportunity now to be a playoff team? They are 8-1 to win the division, plus 140 to make the playoffs.
Well, here's how I'll answer this question. Derek Stevens just put Kevin O'Connell's pitcher back up at every entrance of Circa. All right, he's not coming in anymore. Derek don't want him in anymore. Like, he got lucky all of a sudden again, right? Didn't he? I mean, he got
That's
lucky.
So good.
He did. You got lucky. He's bad. That luck rating came right back for him. And he's been, you know, he was unlucky earlier in the year, and now he's back to being lucky again. Look, he did a great job. I think Brian Flores has done a great job. I don't think they're an overly talented team that can't run the football. Eventually, that's going to show up, right? It's a nice story that Dobbs came in. But when Dobbs was good, what was going on? James Conner was running the football, helping him. Right? When he lost James Conner, he lost his job. He doesn't have a running game in Minnesota.
No, that's an interesting point for sure. But I would like them to continue to be lucky and to continue to have those posters outside the door, not letting him into Circa because he's got that lucky rabbit's foot. Because, you know, in the preseason, I took the Viking season win total over.
I know what
so
you did.
So your
I
girl needs you to did. Get there. Please, Josh Dobbs, continue to do pastronaut things. I love that name. Thank you, NASA, for the trademark. How about the Los Angeles Chargers, your favorite guy, Brandon Staley? Obviously, a lot of talent. Justin Herbert, we know what he's capable of. Hasn't shown it lately. 4-4, glass half full, glass half empty.
You know, I want to say half full because I sit there and I watch him the other night and I say, you know what? I really think so. I think they should be able to compete. And then I watch that game plan against it. Now, look, the Jets are good, but so is Herbert. I think they really miss Mike Williams. And the first, Quentin Johnson from TCU, he has not played well at all. And when they don't have Josh Palmer and it's all on Keenan Allen, man, that offense didn't look good. That was somewhat disappointing the other night.
Yeah, Quentin Johnson's been on a milk carton for sure. How about the Saints real quickly, 5-4, glass half full or empty?
I think the glass is half full. I mean, they're good defensively, right? They are good defensively. Even though you and I don't trust Carr, but they don't trust Carr either. That's why they storm in with our man Taysom Hill in there to take in some of the pressure in the red zone. They finally figured out, ooh, maybe we'll substitute him. Isn't that a good idea?
No, thank you, Derek Carr. Taysom Hill will be the red zone guy. That's all we need. We don't need you. Last two, Colts or Commanders, both of them sitting at 4-5. Who do you think has the better glass? Both empty?
Empty, half empty. Let's be clear. Empty, empty, empty. I mean, we're not going anywhere, Gardner Minshew. The defense isn't very good. They'll probably beat the Patriots over there because I think the Patriots have checked out on their season. If you watch them play against Washington, there was no juice or no life. Now they've got to go to Frankfurt, Germany. Ouch. See, what happens is when you lose faith in your quarterback, your team fickles apart, right? That's what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo with the Raiders. And nobody, you know, they didn't feel it, right? They wanted Aiden O'Connell. I think that's the same thing in New England. And I think that's the same thing in Indianapolis. You can't trust Minshew.
Yeah.
Elliot, don't listen to that.
And even for the Commanders, like, they're already offloading assets. Josh Harris is preparing for next year. So feels half empty to me as well. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your nice bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And Michael, I don't want to starve the audience of a great nugget you just gave me in the commercial break about some of these betting splits. You notice 13 teams have what percentage of handle this week?
under 35%
wow.
as of Wednesday morning coming in. For example, and I look at this every single day and I write notes, the Chargers right now have nobody betting on the Chargers, right? No one's betting the Chargers game. And that line is now up to 3 points. It's up to three. The line has moved. No one's betting the Chargers. The line's moving to Detroit, partly because we know it'll be a home game. But then we get into the situation where no one's betting the Bears, 14% of the market that we look at, yet the line's moving toward away from the Bears at 3.5. So you have to. Last week was really a finicky market. Last week there was a lot of money coming in that came in on the Chargers, but the line was moving towards the Jets. So there was that reverse line movement that you really weren't sure of what's going on. Same thing in Baltimore. Like, they wouldn't move off that Baltimore number, you know, and Seattle was getting played. And so I think sometimes the book with what they don't do tells you a lot, right? And like this week, I think you have to be really careful about watching it. Like, that line went up to 7 in Cincinnati, and it got initially bought back right down. Whereas, like, you take San Francisco and Jacksonville, that line ain't moving. And what that tells you is they're getting money on both sides. Like, they don't need to move the number to increase something. And, you know, they're going to maybe have to move the number to 16.5 or 17 to get some giant money coming in. Because right now, there's 17. There's no giant money coming in.
Yeah, and I think that's just good reminder that betting splits page can really, it's never you blindly follow it or anything, but it's really good to help shape and understand the market and where it's at and where the money is actually going, right?
We use the term market, Stormy. We use the term market, the betting market. And the way you analyze market is by money, right? Follow the money. Where's the movement? We all get caught up with, well, the syndicate thinks this, or the syndicate thinks that, or the pros, or these, you know, last week, everybody, all the pros loved the Jets. All the pros loved, you know, I think it was, maybe it was Carolina. I'm not sure. Oh, they loved Carolina last week. Everybody loved. No, it's not that. It's the money's moving it. It doesn't matter. Some money's better than others, but you got to follow the mass of money.
I mean, that could have been a pro tip in itself, but we do have another one. So we're just going to continue to drop some knowledge for the people at home. I thought this was a great point that you also made in the break about the sample size that you should be looking at on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. It isn't the full year, but you say it's good to focus on the team's previous 4 games. Why is that?
Right. Well, because, like, let's take tomorrow night, the Bears. You know, Harry comes on our show and he says the Bears, they're not playing very well. Well, in some sense, he's right. They turned it over 5 times. That doesn't count as playing very well. But there's a perception that gets kind of manifest itself and it continues to roll. The Bears are not playing poorly defensively. They're not. I mean, they've given up 15.5 points per game over the last 5-6 games. They've played really good defense. You throw the Kansas City game, they had a lot of guys hurt. They're getting guys back in their secondary. They turn the ball over too much on offense. They're not a well-coached team. I get all that. But they're hard to run the football on. And when you look at the numbers the last 4 or 5 weeks, you see that. And so Carolina, okay, they're going in there. Carolina can't run the ball. They need to run the ball. They're not going to run the ball against the Bears. How's that going to work out? Bryce Young, can he throw it? I mean, these are two bad teams playing, but they're relative terms. But when you look at the last 4 weeks on each team, both have played really good defense. Carolina's given up 34 points in 2 weeks, and we know that the Bears have only allowed 15.5 over 6 weeks. So it lends itself to a defensive struggle. Get ready for a lot of punts.
Another great example, I think the most obvious one in the entire NFL this year, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, throw out what you saw the first 4 weeks of the season for Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. It's a different team right now. But again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. So if you want the one specifically from Michael and I, just search the Lombardi line. Really easy to find. All right, Michael, we're going to do some rapid fire Why Not Wednesday. And we have a new open, baby. Take a listen.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
It's so crazy it just might work.
I love it.
speaking of the Cincinnati Bengals, Michael, Joe Burrow has gone from 20-1 to 7-1 in the MVP market. You even made a very interesting comment comparing him to a certain other Joe Cool in your article recently. Yeah. So could it make you want to say why not to throw some dollar bills on Joe Burrow?
I was why not in it on Sunday, remember? Yep. I mean, I wanted to play. Like, to me, yeah. Get it. I mean, what is this love affair with trying to give Tua the MVP? Like, why is that? Like, his numbers, you know. Like, it's like, okay, he's playing good, but Tyreek Hill's the best player on the team. Let's just not forget that. Like, Tua's at better number at 650 and Joe Burrow's at 7. Let me ask you this question, Miss Stormy. Mm. What would Joe Burrow's number look like if he played in Miami?
Well, he'd probably beat some teams that were over 500 if he was in Miami with those weapons.
You
just
know
a
he
thought.
Would. You,
just
you know
a
he
thought.
Would.
Just a thought. Okay, love it. So we were saying why not on Joey B. How about Christian McCaffrey to have the most rushing touchdowns this year, plus 275? Raheem Mostert's your current leader with 11, but McCaffrey's got 9, and the streak continues every single game for this guy.
Well, why not, right? Why not? Now, look, how do you say that? Is that Chun? Is that how you say his name? Devin
Achane.
Achane.
Achane. Yeah.
Achane's coming back, right? So that's going to take Mostert's carries away, maybe in the red zone too. Achane, really, they miss him. They need that explosiveness. So, but McCaffrey's not going to change his role. I say why not?
Okay, Mike Tomlin, we keep on talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers as them Tomlining their ways to win. Our guy Will Hill came on the show yesterday, and he said he loves Tomlin, who has never won Coach of the Year before, to maybe get it this year at 20-1 if they continue to find ways to win games. Can they do it? Could Tomlin at 20-1 make you say, why not?
I can't say why not. He doesn't get enough love or respect. He doesn't. He just won't. You know, it's a way he should have got it last year. He should have got it last year. Like, he's 22-1. I mean, he'll get beat out of O'Connell. I mean, if Peterson wins the South, he's liable to get it. How about Saleh at 10-1?
That's
crazy. I mean, there's people around that think Saleh's doing an incredible job. I've heard this.
He's doing an incredible job dyeing his beard. I don't know about coaching a football team, but that's for a conversation for another day.
Incredible job. You got to give him credit. He's done an incredible job. Like, where?
It looks good, yeah. I have
running
no life.
Steps?
Yeah, I have no life. Okay, let's hit another one, though. Going back to the Bengals. Now, listen, yes, they're playing great, but the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud are playing pretty darn good as well. Could it make you want to say why not that Cincinnati could be on upset watch this week and Stroud gets a W?
Why not? You know, why not? I think, to me, you're going to see a lot of people. Well, we're seeing it now. The line went to 7, and there was quickly buyback on the Texan rally, so now it's back to 6.5. I think you see this line is perfect the way the book wants it. They get two-way action on it. You know, it's one of those games where, you know, if they give you too many points, you're going to jump all over it. Why not if they think they could do it? I mean, this is one of the few games where the money splits 64-36 in favor of Cincinnati. You know, and so now the money line numbers are 68-32. So people are playing the money. Now, you take the points. Money line at 32% of the money line coming in, that's pretty good.
Biggest game of the weekend in college football, Penn State hosting Michigan coming up on Saturday, big noon kickoff. Can James Franklin
get the kickoff win? Oh, why do they have it at noon? I mean, couldn't Will Hill schedule this earlier?
I know, we wanted a nighttime wideout. We wanted a nighttime wideout. We're not getting it.
Will Hill, I mean, what is he doing? I know he's got
everything.
A lot of things to do with the Lakers, but he should be scheduling this. Why not?
Yeah.
Look, I think Michigan's really good. No, I don't. I think Michigan's really good, and I think they're good defensively. And I think the game, how about this only 4.5? What was the Ohio State game? I know it was at home. I forget.
It was around
was
this.
It, three
it was.
And a half?
It, no, it was 4.5 as well. This one actually was 5.5, but it's come down.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you – I can't trust James Franklin. That offense can't convert a third down to save its life. How do you want me to bet this?
The numbers against the top 5 really grind my gears because you want to take them, right? Like, you want to think that Penn State can do it. You want to think that Drew Aller can not throw a check down and get the ball downfield. But we also have to follow our eyes and our brains.
Thank you, Caesar. We want to thank you, too.
Yes, Caesar, well done today. Stepping in, you're the man, producer to the star. Well, to the star, Michael Lombardi. I'm just here.